name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Brothers and sisters, we heard today a very familiar parable, a parable about the vineyard. And as we know, this was a parable that the Lord gave at the very end of his earthly ministry, as he was in Jerusalem during that great Passion Week, the week in which he was rejected by those whom his Father had entrusted with the temple and the great rites, practices, and faith that he had given to them. His Father had expected fruit from them, but they had rejected those who were sent to them, the prophets, the righteous of the Old Testament, and now he sends his only Son, only to be rejected as well. And this is one of the themes of today's parable, rejection. The other theme, of course, is one of acceptance. Those who are the new stewards, the new tenants of the vineyard, the church, those who would render to God the fruits in their seasons. So we see this juxtaposition between rejection and acceptance. We actually saw this in last Sunday's gospel too, where there was a rich young man who came to the Lord, asked what he needed to do to be perfect. The Lord told him, and the man preferred something else to Christ and his word. And he left, having rejected Christ, and it says he went away sorrowful. And then the disciples speak to him about this. And the Lord tells how difficult it is for a rich man, someone who has his treasure on earth, to enter into the treasure from above, the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples say, Lord, this is impossible. Who can be saved? And the Lord then says, with men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. And of course, they were the people who had left everything and followed him, just like that rich young man was invited to do. The disciples had left everything and followed him, and they passed through the eye of the needle. They went into the kingdom of heaven by the grace of God. So we see last Sunday, rejection and acceptance. This Sunday again, rejection and acceptance. And this is what we see continually. Everyone who's called into existence is given free will to use it either to reject the Lord or to accept the Lord. And ultimately, this brings about those two great destinations, those two great states of being, heaven and hell. Heaven being the acceptance of God and hell the rejection of him. Today's parable was about this vineyard. And we'll speak a little bit about it today, but I want to go back a couple of weeks when we also spoke a little bit about a vineyard and what vineyards produce, which is wine. Has everyone now drunk at least a little bit from our church's wine cellar? Remember what the wine cellar was? Who remembers that? What's the church's wine cellar? The lives of the saints. Those people who were filled with that new wine, they became new bottles. And the church has them on the shelf, and you could drink from them anytime, and you won't get drunk, you'll become more sober. This great wine cellar we should be drinking from all the time. St. Luke, when he records the Lord's words about old wine versus new wine, old wineskins versus new wineskins, he says that the Lord told them, no one having drunk old wine immediately desires the new, for he says that the old is better. No one having drunk old wine immediately desires the new, for the old, he says, is better. That's exactly what we saw last Sunday. The man had his riches on earth, and he didn't desire heavenly riches. He said, the earthly is better. Those who have been entrusted with the Old Testament were not interested in the New Testament. They said, the old is better. But what happens to old wine? Who knows that? Some of the Some of the best wine you can keep for even decades or even hundreds of years, perhaps, under the right conditions. But eventually, all old wine becomes vinegar. Vinegar. What was it that the Lord, who was rejected by the Israelite people, was offered on the cross? Vinegar. But vinegar mixed with gall. Who knows what gall is? It's a little bit harder. A definition for gall: bitterness, resentment, rancor, malice, spite, vitriol, venom, and poison. You see, when we make the wrong choice and we reject the Lord, it not only brings sorrow to us, but it brings us to anger. And anger, when it reaches its full zenith, it leads to murder. But paradoxically, not the murder of God, who cannot be killed, but the murder of our own soul. We put to death our own soul when we reject Christ, because Christ is our life. New wine must be put into new vessels. The Lord, when he is in this Passion Week, he speaks to the disciples about the Passover meal, which inaugurates the meal that we have in the Divine Liturgy, Holy Communion, where we partake of the Lord's body and blood. He says to them, "I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of this vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." The wine that we partake of here is that new wine. And it's put into new vessels, new bottles. Christ also told them, "I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And everyone that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bring forth more fruit. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it remains in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." What does that sound like we just heard last Sunday? With men, these things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. In this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you shall be my disciples." This is what it means to be stewards and tenants of the Church of God. To be people who render to our Heavenly Father those fruits. What are those fruits? But the fruits of the Spirit. St. Paul writes to the Galatians, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." In a word, the fruit of the Spirit is virtue. And in a word, virtue is God. Virtue is Christ. That's what Blessed Theophili says. He says, "Christ is virtue because Christ is God." What we're called to bring forth in our lives is Christ, abiding in him and he in us. And of course, that's what the church has done from the very beginning. You heard in the epistle today, St. Paul's first to the Corinthians, he speaks about the household of Stephanus. And in the translation today, it said they were the first converts in Achaia. But more literally, if you look at the Greek, it says they're the first fruits of Achaia. And then others are mentioned in addition to Stephanus: Fortunatus and Achaeus, Aquila and Priscilla, all the churches in Asia, all the brethren, and the churches in their homes. Christ is not just meant to be here in this church, but in our homes. When we go home, we're to be his stewards there too. And of course, we're to be his stewards with our own personhood, our own selves. Christ is meant to be within us as well. The person is meant to be that vessel or that bottle, that new wineskin. The big question, though, for us, brothers and sisters, is how do we know if we're lovers of the old wine or the new wine? How do we know if we're going to reject or accept Christ? One of the characteristics of the old wine, earthly wine, that most people try to make sure that they have when they purchase a bottle are the antioxidants. Who buys wine with antioxidants? Some of you? No one drinks wine ever? Probably some of you, right? And although our doctors can probably explain this better, antioxidants reduce the oxidation that happens in the human body, which can damage cells and lead to the development of disease, including Alzheimer's, heart disease, and cancer. So antioxidants have a kind of healing aspect to them. And the best of the old wine has some of these antioxidants in them to bring about some form of healing. But of course, it's temporary, it's not complete. In the new wine, we see something like an antioxidant. It's called an oxymoron. Who knows what an oxymoron is? I'll give you some examples. This will trigger your memory. A jumbo shrimp, right? Oxymoron. Jumbo and shrimp, they don't go together. Virtual reality. An original copy. Old news. Pretty ugly. An only choice. Right? These are oxymorons. Two things that don't really go together, but when you put them together, they illustrate something. Think about the wine that the disciples partook of. The body and blood of Christ. It was not of this world. It was heavenly, not earthly. It was eternal, not temporary. It was spiritual, not carnal. It was of God, not of man. And it had a certain characteristic to it, which made them drunk with sobriety. They were then joyful in their mourning. They lusted for chastity. They hoarded charitable opportunities. They were greedy for poverty. They feasted on fasting. They exalted in humility. They overindulged in self-control. They were aggressively passive. They couldn't wait to practice patience. They were powerful in weakness. They loved their enemies. They were passionate about becoming passionless. They lived to die, and they died to live. Everything that characterized the apostles and the saints from every generation was paradoxical. It was something not of this world, not of this age. These are the character traits that we're seeking to acquire by grace, that we're looking to co-work with God, to be filled with. We have to be brothers and sisters. We can't prefer the old ways. We have to prefer this paradox. And who is the great paradox but Christ himself? Who is born of the Virgin. Virgins don't give birth. Who's God, who has become man. Who's the creator, who's become created. Christ is the great paradox. He's the wisdom that we think is foolishness. He's the life that we think is death. And the saints came to love him and this newness of life, this new wine that they were filled with. Brothers and sisters, the young man made the wrong choice last week. The Israelites in the Old Testament made the wrong choice. We as New Testament people People entrusted with the vineyard must learn to render to God the fruits and their seasons. And the season is our lifetime. We must be people who partake of this gift of the Holy Spirit, this life in Christ, and offer it up to the glory of the Father. This is a great privilege we have as stewards and tenants of the church. It's a great responsibility that we have, for which we'll be held accountable. But not only held accountable, for which we'll be rewarded by tasting, not just in the next age, but even now, this paradoxical life of Christ that brings such joy and such happiness. Let it be ours in Christ Jesus. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to Christ.